Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but know you all about the evening man. He has had one, a diamond gun, a CSM, a Jack Harry, and a legal way to wait for you. I know you all are here, the evening man. Well, I sit there and turn the lights down low. You are ourselves at home, good evening, friends. We're on the air just once a week ago. Each week a brand new show for you, my friends. The music starts, the curtain parts, and now the fun for everyone. Although it's true that I cannot see you, I almost feel I do. Good evening, friends. Thank you, folks. Thank you. Tune in Saturday night again, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to Shell Chateau once more. And I know you're going to enjoy yourself, but tonight we have another great show. For music, we have Dixie Young's Officer. Come here, Victor. Come here, Victor. A little hand for our folks. Well, folks, just a little surprise. Today is Victor's birthday. I want to tell you this thing. You've been very nice to me. I'm going to show my appreciation. I have a little birthday present for you. Here's a check, Victor, for $1,000. And if you're nice for next year, I'll sign it. For comedy, we have one of the funniest acts that ever appeared on the global stage. The Watchmen Sisters. Come in, girls. Kitty Watson here is a little one, and Sammy is a big one. And I want to tell you, Sammy weighs 280 pounds, but every pound is love. You know, folks, The last few months, those of us who shared the last few months, Sammy got an idea she wanted to get into society. In fact, just this morning she told me she's taking up horseback riding. She thinks it'll increase her closer to training. Well, Sammy, I didn't know about this. Those are fighters, but I know those early in future, Sammy was. Ah, and for songs we have that great American singer, it's Carmel Myers. Come over here. Ah, I want to tell him how nice you are. Isn't he sweet, ladies and gentlemen? Well, to give you an idea how sweet Carmel is, as soon as the girl gets to jump, we'll have to engage her a box of chocolates. And you should have heard the gallant speech that they made, like a electric herring calling to its mate. He said, Miss Myers, here's a box of chocolates for you. You know the old saying, sweet to the sweet, and Carmel turned around and said, thanks, Victor, have some nuts. But Carmel, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Lionel Farrell. Of course, the team is together with the band one of the two greatest romantic stars in Holden today. And believe me, you're lucky to have both of us on the same program. But not only we have this garnet, one of the three spookiest comedians. Right this way, Vince, your boy, right this way. To give you an idea of what a goofy guy this big partner is, he came to Shell Chateau late today. Naturally, I asked him what the trouble was. He said, Adam, you see, it was this way. My car broke down, and a man charged me $50 to tow you. And I said, what, $50 to tow your car in? Isn't that an awful lot of money? He said, yeah, I know it is. But don't worry, Al. I made that guy earn it. I kept my brakes on all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you all remember the distinguished guest we had here in Shell Chateau last week. The preparing itself was the Duke of Kentucky, sir. We received a great many letters from Kentuckians telling us how happy they were the first time between with us in Shell Chateau. Of course, I'd like to answer each and every one of those letters first, I promise I would, but I just haven't had the time. So the best way I can do, well, is by saying to all you Kentuckians who are listening in, hello, Kentucky! Kentucky, hello!
I walked in, took it hard, took it long, 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 long,
let me put my arms around you. Pretty flowers, valleys and hills, pretty flowers, nothing but thrills. I'm glad I wear a strain to get that king of pain. Hello, doggy, hello. Hello, doggy, doggy, hello. Hello, doggy, why did I go? What I didn't do to get to you. Now I found you. Let me put my arms around you. Shady flowers, valleys and hills. Pretty flowers, nothing but thrills. I'm glad I wear a brain to get that kick of pain. Hello, lucky, hello. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest in Shell Chicago tonight is a foremost living representative of a very strange profession. His name is Vince Barnett, and he is without a doubt the world's greatest river. A river is a man who pulls a rib. And a rib, in case you don't know it, is a peculiar kind of a technical joke. Maybe you won't believe this, but for years, Vince made a living by going around making people mad. For instance, he goes to a banquet made up to the head waiter, but he always says the wrong things to the wrong people. So inside of 5 minutes, half the people in the Hanford feel heartburn, and the other half want to punch him in the nose. Ladies and gentlemen, the world champion river, Vince Barnett.
Hello, Al, old boy. You certainly look great.
Wait a minute, Vince. Don't cut river me. What I'm interested in is, how did you happen to get in fishing business anyway?
Oh, that's easy, Al. You see, my father did the same thing for years, and he caught the game to me.
I see, old man River. Did your father invent the head waiter gag too, Vince?
Yeah, he used to use me as a bus boy.
Hmm, your father, a waiter, and you a bus boy. Well, thank you for your thing.
I'm glad I wouldn't eat any of that stuff. Well, you see, along toward the end of the meal, when things were getting quiet, the chairman was getting up to speak. I'd come running out of the kitchen and holler at Dad.
Oh, your dad was a head waiter, huh?
Yeah, and he'd holler back, and pretty soon you couldn't hear anything but the two of us
arguing about where to put the coffee.
Al, it was pandemonium.
Pandemonium? That's a pretty fancy word for a buck boy, isn't it?
Say, I know a lot of fancy words.
Yeah? Well, let me hear you spell pandemonium.
So it was a riot. Anyhow, I'm an actor now, Al.
That's what you think now, Al.
All right. I'm not going to do anything.
Boy, how bad did you just drive those type of guys crazy? Tell me, then. Do you still do that head waiter act?
Not so much now, Al. Now I generally pose as an expert. I'll never forget the rip I pulled in Hollywood with a picture in the suit that's just beginning to go in for sound.
I remember all talking, all dancing, all singing, and all terrible. Go right ahead, then.
Well, I went over to one of the big studios and was introduced as Dr. Hoffman, a big German sound expert.
Dr. Hoffman?
Yeah, you see, I used to work with a dialect. Well, they had all the big shots there when I arrived. Production chief, director.
Oh, and then don't stop, it's interesting.
You see, they gave me a big reception. We talked for a minute, and then I looked out the window and saw the new sound stages they were putting up. I said, gentlemen, what are these buildings here? The head man looked out the window and said very proudly, why, Dr. Hoffman voted the new sound stages. We've already put $280,000 into it.
You hung up $80,000?
Go on, Vince, go on. I said, sound stages is not necessary. $280,000. You are fools. I said, gentlemen, today is sales day. By Saturday, I want all these buildings for better.
Listen, you don't mean to tell me that those two good sound for that, do you?
Hook, line, and sinker, Al. I bawled them out for hours, and they were just about to put a wrecking crew on the sound stages when I broke down and told them it was just a gag.
Oh, but wait a minute. What I don't understand is why you didn't get a punch in the nose. Don't you get popped off and, you know, for telling those kind of gag and do no thing?
No, Al. The funniest thing is I've only actually been hit once.
That's funny.
Who did it? Amundsen, the explorer.
Amundsen, the explorer? You don't mean to tell me you ripped him, too.
Yep. It was at a banquet to raise money for an expedition. And I got up and denounced Amundsen as a fake and said he ought to be in Leavenworth with Dr. Crook.
Oh, say, no wonder he poked you. I have poked him myself.
You should have seen him, Al. Amundsen was a fine old gen, about 65. He got up and apologized for the accident with about to occur, and then he smacked me right in the kisser.
But the funny thing about it was, when he found out it was a really last harder than anybody else,
he was a swell guy.
You mean he forgave you?
Yep. As a matter of fact, everybody I've ever ridden in my life, Al, has become my friend.
Listen, Vince, I happened to be in Hollywood a year or so ago when you pulled that famous rib on Max Bear, the shrinking pilot of the ring. What did you do to rid Max?
Well, I ridden for weeks. when he was out here making a picture with Primo Canera. And Canera was champion. Remember when Canera was champion?
Canera?
Oh, yeah, he was a boxer, wasn't he?
Well, one night Max and I had dinner at my house, and afterward Max sat down in the living room with a drink in his hand. My radio was playing, and you know what I did?
No.
I sneaked out on the porch with a microphone.
A microphone?
Yeah, you see, I had it connected with the radio so I could cut in and sound like I was on the air. So I stood out there and said,
"Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program at this time to give you a few late news flashes.
Now I know what's wrong with you, Vince."
"What's that, Al?"
"At heart, you're just a radio announcer."
"I resent that." "Well, anyway, I gave a couple of legitimate news flashes that I got out of the evening papers, and then I said, 'Hollywood, California, this afternoon on the 7th Central Golden Mayor, where the great Primo Canera is playing the lead in a picture in which Max Baer has a small part, there was lots of excitement. Max has been trying to hit Canera for 3 weeks unsuccessfully. But this afternoon, Canera accidentally let one go that caught Baer on the jaw, knocked him out for 15 minutes. Managers of these fighters and studio officials are trying to keep this out of the papers. But this station believes that the public should know the truth about such synthetic chorus boy type fighters as Max Baer."
"Boy, I'll bet Max was burning."
"Was he burning? He rushed over the radio, took one punch at it, smashed it to pieces. The next day, he was still sore.
Sure.
He was up and down at the studio waiting for Canera to show up. Al, I tell you, he'd have killed that guy."
"Oh, say, you're lucky you're allowed to tell about it. But wait a minute, then. I want to say one thing to the folks here.
The engine got a fence is not only a great clipper, but he's a very fine actor, too. Since only last week, I saw him in that new Warner Brothers picture, Don't Turn on Clowns. And honestly, and sincerely, I thought you as well."
"Thanks, Al. By the way, I thought you were great and going to your dance."
"Thank you, Mr. Barnett.
But tell me, Al, who was that girl that played opposite you in that picture?"
"She was terrible."
"Wait a minute. Now, just a minute. Now, wait a minute. By the way, do you know who that girl was?"
"No, I don't know who she was."
"Well, listen to me a minute, Mr. Barnett. I'll tell you a few things. In the first place, that girl was Ruby Keeler. In the second place, Ruby Keeler happened to be my wife. In the third place, she was great in that picture. And in the fourth place, you say you've only been caught once?"
"That's right."
"Well, you've been wrong all day."
Well, folks, we're back in Shelterville. And you know those two kids that work here, Jack Kent and Peggy Barker? Well, I gave a little vacation last week. They went down to Catalina for the weekend. And those kids had a great time, but they got a terrible sunburn. When they got back to work this morning, I heard Jack say to Peggy, 'Gee, honey, you're peeing.' And she said, 'Thanks, Jack. You appear to me, too.' Now, if that isn't love, it's the worst joke I ever told." Anyhow, now they're going to sing for us that lovely Roger and Hart song, "My Heart Stood Still." Jack Stanton and Peggy Barker.
I loved a sweetheart, I met and rose, all in this dream heart, me romantic fools.
Romantic heart, my heart so lay, I saw your eyes, now that's the bright in May.
I took one look at you, that's all I meant to do, and then my heart broke.
I think you're dead, I love, I love you, my heart, I love my heart to be.
Oh,
guest this evening is a very talented and charming young lady whom you've truly heard on the air many times. But the first time I heard her wasn't on the air. No, sir. She was over the back fence. But as you see, she lives next door to me. And I used to hear her sing. I enjoyed it so much. I always wanted to meet her. But I've met her. She's here. Her name is Carmel Meyer. And it's a pleasure to welcome her to South Dakota Night, where she will present another of her radio song dramas, Miss Carmel Meyer. Time. The spring of the year 1912. Scene. A nightclub in the gayest, most romantic city in the world. Paris! Paris!
When first I came to Paris from America, they used to say that the secret of my success was that I brought Broadway to Paris. And now tomorrow, when I go aboard the boat, they will take me back to my own country. My great regret is that I cannot take you. You, who are my Paris, back with me to Broadway. Now for my last song, until I return. I love you. Do you have to ask me to look in the eyes? Shout. Shout from the housetop. Tell everyone you know. I won't pay for your silence. Oh, let go of me. Just don't. Don't check what you are. Let go of me. Oh, you're hurting me. Wait a minute, Jack. I can hear anything. What are you doing? I think I've got that wish. Right there in that door. Here we go. Let me get it. Here it is. Oh, this time it isn't gold, it's lead. No, not that one, Simone. The black lace with the neck. It is not good to do. Have you got the nerve for that? You keep on heading this way up to the door. There's no such a car, Chuck Loudon. We've been out 4 days now, haven't we? And it's true, we could have lost by now. Please tell me the truth. And there'll be nothing between me and success. That's all that counts. Never mind. Tonight at the ship's house, but I'll be at this place, and you'll see. the director of Nazis in the audience. It's my great opportunity. See how silly you are. For Christ's sake. See that little image. Please, Miss Hurtup, any conversation to Francis? I'm ready.
Yes. Yes, of course I can stay with you a moment.
Won't you come in?
Well, that's quite all right. I'll call you when I need you, sir.
Get in. Oh, Violet. From
whom? Yes, I'll be glad to read it.
It's a ridiculous idea, isn't it? It's so like the French police. It's so terrible. Yes, I see. They say you found my apartment, but surely you don't for a moment believe.
I'm saying, naturally, you wouldn't want scandal on your face.
Why, yes, of course. I'd be glad to see the captain. Only see the concert's done now, and I'm supposed to sing in 5 minutes. Don't you think you'd better wait until after the concert's over?
It might create even more talk if I didn't hear.
And after all, isn't it though I could get overboard in the shower?
Yes, immediately after the concert, on the bridge.
Thank you. Thank you, and believe me, I don't want to scandal any more than you do.
Au revoir.
I haven't left my song. Come in, Simone.
Bring it up together. We still have to reach him. If it depends on us, I'm a proper guest.
Honey! Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to be here tonight and to be part of the first concert aboard this beautiful ship. I'd like to sing a song to you that Miss Fishy Chef is making popular.
The show is going on. Tonight we're presenting Lyle Barrymore, Carmel Myers, Vink Turner, the Watson Sisters, and Itty Yelly Music. And now I'm going to sing a song for you. But before we can play for me, I want to say something about him. Victor is sleeping company with a girl. The other night she invited him over to her house. The minute Victor got inside the door, her mother hit him over the head with a broom, her father kicked him down the stairs, and her kid brother threw his shoulder at him. Well, folks, Victor isn't going to call on that girl anymore. There's one thing about Victor. He can certainly take a hint. And now, I'd like to sing a song that an old lady and old gentleman happen to be singing here tonight have asked me to sing. It's a great song. In fact, I think it's the finest song Irving Berlin has ever written. When I Leave the World Behind.
I know a millionaire whose burden down to care, a lovely boy is mine. He's thinking of the day when he must pass away and leave his wealth behind. I haven't any gold to leave when I grow old. Somehow it passed me by. I'm grateful, but still, I believe a precious will. What I must say, what about? I leave the sunshine to the flowers. I leave the springtime to the trees. And to the old folks, I leave the memories of a baby upon their knees. I leave the nighttime to the dreamers. I leave the songbirds to the blind. I leave the moon above in love. When I leave a world behind, when I leave the world behind, I leave the sunshine to the flowers. I leave the springtime to the trees. And for the old folks, I leave memories of a baby on their knees. I leave the nighttime to the dreamers. I leave the songbirds to the blind. I leave the moon above dear love.
Well, Somebody help me.
I remember your fellow.
Oh, you mean Shelby Casey?
I knew when I was your fellow. She used to hold his hand.
Well, the first time up, you got your arm on me.
Yeah, I don't think men can be trusted.
Well, I don't agree with you.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of nice restaurants today.
Yeah.
When you drop in a nickel and get a cup of coffee.
That's
right. You drop in a nickel and get a piece of pie.
Oh, Marvel.
You don't have any more.
I'm just thinking, the food would be wonderful if you drop in a nickel and get a husband.
Yeah.
But it'd be wonderful if you could tap on your husband and get a nickel.
Jimmy, but you know how to make poor things. Can't you introduce me to one who wants to pet? Talk a little.
Fanny, if you have a boyfriend, you'll have to be
you. Oh, that's all. How'd you like to know that I have a boyfriend?
No.
Yeah. That's
right.
He kissed me.
He kissed you?
Yeah.
For the first time.
And Jimmy, you know I don't want to think about it.
Well,
when I said I'd kiss you again, Fanny, if you kiss me as soon as I've ever had, then I'll send you a $5,000 card. And he said, if your kiss is the best kiss that I've ever had, he said, I'll send you a $10,000 car.
$10,000? So why did he send you?
A horse.
Oh, Fanny. Fanny, you simply must be here.
I'll know the story.
Look at that.
Well, Fanny,
you should exercise.
I'll tell you, you should ride a horse.
Well, I'll tell you what, you should live so long.
Ride a horse. Now, wait a minute. Didn't I do no horseback riding while we rode in England?
Oh, in dear old London. Remember the fact? Galloping across country, riding over seas.
Yeah.
And would you ever forget those horseback
cars? I never sit down in the middle without thinking of
it. Yeah, that reminds me.
What?
During the fox hunt, at that last time, some lady found a fault in the shoe.
Where were you?
I hadn't come down yet.
I had trouble with that last ditch.
Well, did they tell you what to do when you came to a ditch?
Yeah, they told me to take it.
Just to take it?
About a pint and a half of it. And then someone yells at me, come to the fence,
come to the fence. What did you say?
I said, come to yourself, I've been looking after you for a month.
Oh, that's it. Well, with all your splendors, I thought the ocean boys were beautiful.
Oh, Kitty, don't make that ocean trip for me again.
Why? Mm-hmm. And the only trouble with you is your poor sailor.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Yes.
Kitty, what time she said?
No.
I even look like my passport
picture.
Not only did I have seasickness, but I had lunch all at the same time.
Oh, kisses. Jimmy, the way you just carried yourself on the boat was terrible.
What do you mean, terrible?
On our first sail, when the captain came out on deck and was looking around, you asked him what he was looking for. And when he said he was looking for his first mate, what did you say?
I don't know. What did I say?
He said, oh, captain, this is so sudden.
You
know, I was a third alarm, but you were being served in the salon.
What?
In the salon. You, what is your run? What are you running for?
I thought he set the room. Oh, yes, and when they did serve a monkey at our table, do you remember they only served one chicken for 12 people?
Yes, I do remember that. And the way people were grabbing right and left, oh, it was terrible.
What, you're disgusting.
Awful.
But the two legs got up were all right.
This was one family name in America which stands for genius in acting, the name of Paramore. It is a great tradition that has lasted more than one generation and is still continuing. 7 weeks ago, we had with us here in Shelter Door one member of this family, Mr. John Barrymore. Tonight, we are proud to present another John Barrymore fellow, Lionel. I do not need to tell you Lionel Barrymore's common successes, and probably not one of you here this evening who has not seen or heard him. Tonight, we appear in a scene from one of his greatest stage successes, Augustus Thomas play, The Copperhead. It is a pleasure to welcome to Shelter Door Mr. Lionel Barrymore. The Copperhead is the story of Milt Shanks, an Illinois farmer who was despised by his neighbors as a coward during the war years of the 1860s. He never suspected
she was greater, a hero, than any of them.
He called her the Copperhead because that was a popular name in the North, for the Northerners who sympathized with the Southern tide. His wife died of a broken heart after his son was killed with the Union forces at Vicksburg, but the Yanks never told his secret. 40 years later, when Luke's chance to create his canoe had been forgotten, it had suddenly revived again. Luke's granddaughter, Madeline, the apple of his eye, is applying for position of school teacher in the town. Her chief rival is the daughter of Hugh Gillespie, a Union veteran. And the old feud is standing to flame again. Not only this, but the revelation of Luke's past threatens to break up Madeline's romance with a young lawyer whom she loves. So Luke decides to break his 40 years of silence and summons to the power of his home two men who have not spoken to him in 40 years. One of them is Hugh Gillespie, the other is Colonel Hardy, mayor of the town. But they have not arrived yet. Just now, the parlor is occupied only by Madeline and her sweetheart, Philip Manning.
Madeline, you mustn't worry about this business. It simply has nothing to do with us.
But I'm home. You've got to think of your career.
But, darling, how can you hurt my career?
I'm the granddaughter of a copperhead. How do you think the voters will like that?
I don't care. I'm going to marry copperhead or no copperhead. Because I love you.
You are sweet, Philip. I don't know.
Here comes Duke Gillespie with Colonel Hardy.
Oh, I wish I knew what Grandpa's up to.
Good afternoon, Madeline.
Good afternoon.
I haven't set foot in this house for 40 years.
No, neither have I.
I don't know what Neil Shanks has got up his sleeve, but I do know this. The school board votes in that for a new teacher. My daughter has earned the place for years of camera work, and she's up to do the satisfactory in this job. The old settlers here ain't going to be patient with no more blood planker. He's putting in a copperhead granddaughter.
Now, talk a minute,
Gillespie. Please, Philip. Sit down, Paul.
Good afternoon, folks. You sent for me, Mr. Shanks?
I did, General Hardy. You sent for me, too.
I did, Gillespie.
Well, what do you want?
Sit down and you'll see. Sit down.
Oh, all
right. Sit down by Philip, will you? A short horse is soon curried, and my business won't keep anyone long. Colonel Hardy and me were boys together. Our congressman gave me an appointment to West Point, but Tom Hardy, I've had it. Besides, it wasn't convenient for me to go to West Point then, so I resigned it for him. Before that, we went to a school where Abe Lincoln came and talked to us. We both knew him from that time on till he was elected president. Ain't that so, Colonel Hardy?
Yes, never mind that. If you've got anything to say, say it.
Just a minute, Gillespie, just a minute. See that mask of Lincoln on the mantelpiece? Lincoln. Hardy and me were together at his house before he started for Washington. A sculpture man was there to take a Paris model of Lincoln's face. Most folks think this is after death thing, a death mask. But Colonel Hardy and me thought it tough. Just throw the soft plaster on his face and let it get hard. Lincoln sat in your armchair, like you are. Madeline, hand me that box, will you, dear? Thank you, child. In this box, where I have my letters and keepsakes, is a model of Lincoln's hand. The hand that wrote the Emancipation of Slavery. The sculpture man sent me these himself, so they're genuine. Look at my hand beside his. Bigger men, every way. Well, the statue of Lincoln nowadays is copied from this. So you see, we know them. Well, then the war broke out. Hardy took a vow to support his country. I took one to destroy it. Hardy's company marched off. My Joey, only 16, along with him. His mother ruined again the tank. And the women, and that's his picture there, Philip. Oh, the mantelpiece. You would probably thinner at 16 yourself.
Yes, I was.
I was peeking through some bushes. Could almost catch him as they marched by. Blue eyes. His mother?
Never said a word. Crying quite still.
Well, at night in the golden circle.
Copper hand.
Golden circle. We send help to the top. All the cousins sleep hide and kettle. I went to Richmond, Virginia, twice. I went on when Vicksburg comes. And one night a fella come into town here in Hicks. When you hear from Jones, is he, your boy? Last week I said, how old is he? All right, I said. And he says, Joe's dead. Madeline, I can see your grandma yet, the crying by the well, the pet in the corner where Joey sat the day he marched away. By and by, I leaned over to catch her, but she flogged away, a trembling and a saying, for heaven's sake, no thanks, you're unclean. It's mother. 2 or 3 days she was fine, her face again some red as she rode home. And then, the two, her and Joey, was buried the same time. At the church, instead of the trouble I expected from the neighbors, they was all strange-like and kind. Except when I went to look in the black coffin, under the flag where Joey was. No Gillespie took me by the arm and said, well, you tell him, Luke, what you said.
I have told him more than once.
Well, tell her. He never heard him.
I give him my word, or I die.
His word to Joy.
He said, if you take me back, don't let him be here. If he'd only fought on the other side, I'd have been proud. Even if he'd been the one that shot me. But no Copperhead. And I did. Right in the church, I just took him by the arm and said it was his particular last request. Quiet, Black. And I'm talking now. And let him out of the church. And I'd do it again.
Oh, Grandpa.
That left only little Elsie, your mom, Madeline. And she was so little I couldn't leave her alone, and I was carrying her on my arm. You, Gillespie, was the only man that spoke to me, and in the whole United States. Yes, in the whole world, only one man spoke to me. I kept his letter, naturally. Here it is. I'm going to ask Colonel Hardy to read it.
What's
it? Careful, Colonel. It's the chief state with me.
Oh, all right.
And then when you have read it, that's all I got to say. If it wasn't for Madeleine and Philip, and I know they're loving each other and separating.
Well, who's crazy? You are.
Well, Miss Shanty.
Miss Shanty.
Read it, Colonel Hardy.
Where? It's written at Manchester, Washington. April 11, 1865. Mr. Newton Shank, Newton. Dear Miss, please surrender and law. I cannot be with you without a sense of guilt. But I had to be. I will know what you did, and even more what you endured. I cannot reward. Man cannot reward anything for his wife. There's only one death. I send you this flag handkerchief. It's not new, but you'll prize it the more for that. I hope to shake your hand sometime. Your face, Amy. Hang on. Do you recollect the time you drove me to the train in March of 61? Very well, you went to look at that.
That's what I told you. I was called a warden by Lincoln. And 2 days later, at night, in his library, White House, he walked over toward the window, and without turning around, he said, Milk! I remember a clock ticking on the mantle. I said, Mr. President, Milk! How much do you love your country?
Well, that's not pretty bad, guys. Really, it is. Thousands of boys is trying to do that. Then he turned round. Would you give up something more in life? I'm here, say. The president put his hands through his hair. Went on. It means to be odious in the eyes of men and women. Eat your heart out, alone, or you can't tell your wife, her child, her friends. Go on, say. The Southern sympathizers is organized in our state really worse than the soldiers. I want you to join them Knights of the Golden Circle. To be one of them. A copperhead. Their leader, if you can. I need you, Dick. Your country needs you. Hadn't been 2 minutes since he was laughing. But he lifted his hand, and it seemed he was the only hope. I'll give her the same. He took a little flag out of his pocket, like it's not this very one, and put it on the table, like I'm putting it. As chief magistrate of the nation, I muster you into the nation's service, he said. He took my hand and laid it where the broom is, and all the stars, and put his hand over mine. Only open the cross. And said, nothing. Yes, look in my eyes. And look. Well, I find what you folks call copperhead. Knights of the Golden Circle. It was terrible when I couldn't tell the boy. When he marched off. 16, you know. Why, yes. It ruined the governor that pardoned me out of Joliet where I was convicted to. But I always figured he had his orders from Washington to me and couldn't talk about it. And even when Vicksburg come and Joe was dead, why, the war wasn't over. I'm sorry, all these years we decided to have the cold. Couldn't tell George or his mother. And with them gone, everything else seems so useless. It's only now when it's separating Madeline and Phillips and filing an election to the school board.
Well, election, that's all gone. I've built that story with elected Woodman.
Come here, Mills.
You what are you trying to do?
Take that coat off, Mills. This coat I'm wearing don't belong to me.
I knew it's not your Grand Army coat.
Here, get in it. And here's the hat. There. And Grand Lord me tonight. I may be a darn fool, but by gosh, I ain't no scum.
Oh,
Grandpa. The blue metal. Get in the corn around it. If there was only a looking glass. Oh. Is it all right now for me to wear this?
Figured if I knew who's got a better idea.
Oh. My Lord, it's wonderful. I have friends again.
Now about a common family problem and an easy way to solve it. Do you have a family rule to use your legs more and the car less in order to save money on gasoline? And are you having a hard time doing it? Well, here's a way you can drive your car even more than you've been doing and still use up less gasoline. Simply get Super Shell, the new type gasoline that cuts down the usual waste on starting and accelerating, that saves on the stop-and-go driving we all do. Super Shell does this because it's a balanced gasoline. It's the first truly balanced gasoline. It's efficient for starting and accelerating as well as for long, steady driving. By using Super Shell, you can save as much as a cupful in just starting and warming up the engine a single time. And you can save up to another cupful on 10 minutes of rapid accelerating. In the course of a week's driving,
The gasoline you save really amounts to something, because 80% of your driving is on short trips right around home. You're starting or accelerating practically all the time. Thousands and thousands have proved it true. You spend less for gasoline when you use Super Shell. Try a tank full soon. You can get it at any of the 30,000 neighboring Shell stations from coast to coast.
Okay, we get her all back in Shell Chateau next Saturday night. Because next week we're going to have another big show. We're going to have Russell H. You know that the stuttering comedian of the pictures. We're going to have another Russell. Russell Turner, one of the greatest flyers in the United States. And the favorite to win the Thompson Trophy in the National Air Race at the end of the summer. We're also going to have a little girl who will be famous someday. She's already a fine little singer and a great tap dancer. Her name is Marjorie Keeler. Maybe you've heard of her sister. I have. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have that brilliant, glamorous screen star, Miss Dolores Del Rio. What a show. So remember, it's a date next Saturday night. And don't forget, the next time you're out driving and you need gas, drop in to hear Shell Service Station. This is Al Jolson saying, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters and the saints, all you brothers. Thank the family every Saturday night. Thank you kindly for the letters you write. This is Aldi, your pal, be wealthy. And I want to promise you, Shell will bring you gift cards. We hope they'll be the best cards. And I'll say good night for you.